The Apostle Paul in the third chapter of 2 Corinthians talked about the things under the law where Moses went up Mount Sinai and saw the Shekinah glory of God. I mean, he saw the backside of God. And as he came down out of the mountain, his face, it glowed. So much so that the people asked that that his face be veiled. Paul went on and said, if that was glorious under the law, Mount Sinai, what Moses went through, how much more glorious the things that we experience through Christ Jesus. That song talked about the glory of God, looking toward God and experience degrees or dimensions of God's glory in our soul and in our life. Is that real? If it was real under the law, I assure you it's more real, if that's a word, under grace. Amen? It's better under grace. It's more glorious under grace. I mean, we experience the glory of God through the face of Jesus Christ. And that's what he says. We look with an open veil into the face of Jesus Christ. We move from one dimension, one degree of glory to another. What a blessing it is to know the Lord Jesus. What a blessing it is to be under the covenant of grace and experience this kind of glory. Jesus told us that glory that he came to bring, it would be glory in his church. Paul said that as well, to be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. I mean, the glory that's among God's people, among the believers, those that have been underneath the crimson flow, those that have been forgiven of their sins, we experience dimensions of his glory. The apostle said, like the apostle John said in John chapter 1, in St. John chapter 1, he talked about how that they were able to see the glory of the Father in the face of Jesus Christ, and how that we were experiencing not only one dimension of grace to another, one wave of grace after another, but we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Listen, when you experience glory, you also have experienced grace. The psalmist says, the Lord, and I believe it's of the Lord, the Lord gives grace and glory. You can't have one without the other. Amen? In order to experience the glory of God, you must experience the grace of God in your life. I'm talking about saving grace. Y'all know about that? One of the problems today with people lacking the glory of God is the lack of the grace of God. They've not experienced the salvation that comes by faith, the righteousness, which is of faith, like Paul talked about, the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Listen, it's only through faith in Jesus Christ that you experience grace. Faith is the channel of God's grace. It gets you to a place of glory. Listen, we are going to share in the glory of Jesus Christ. We'll be able to, amen. We'll be able to bask in the glory of God through Jesus Christ. I don't know what all we'll experience, but we will experience it not only of the Spirit, but we'll experience it in the flesh. We'll receive glorified bodies like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, I'm talking about fully experiencing the glory of God. For here and now, we just get a foretaste of it. Amen. We just get a small degree of it. But doesn't it motivate you? Doesn't it inspire you? Doesn't it thrill you to think about the glory that's yet to come? Amen? The glory that's going to come. Listen, if you're here today and you never experienced a degree of God's glory through being saved, through experiencing the forgiveness of sin, if you've never repented of your sins and put faith in Jesus Christ, if you've not experienced the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, if you've not experienced the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, you need to be on your face before God, calling upon Him, repenting of your sins. Listen, I still believe there's salvation through the blood of Jesus. I believe that He can take the vilest of sinners and make them clean. I believe where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Yes, it is the Lord that has given us grace. Grace and truth has appeared to all men tied to sin by Jesus Christ. If you want to get a glimpse of the grace of God and the glory of God, you can only find it in Jesus Christ. Paul said, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby that you must be saved. It's through the name of Jesus. Yes. Paul also preached at Cornelius, or Peter did in the 10th chapter of Acts. He preached to the house of Cornelius, and he said to him, gave all the prophets witness that whosoever believed in him shall receive the remission of sins. Listen, if you want your sin debt canceled, you must come to Jesus Christ. There's no other way. No other way but Jesus. Oh, people, we're going into His glorious kingdom. And of His kingdom there'll be no end. The God of heaven has set up a kingdom, and it shall crush and consume and destroy all the other kingdoms of this world. Daniel said that it will destroy not only the Babylonian kingdom and the Greek kingdom and the Medo-Persian kingdom and the Roman kingdom, but all the kingdoms of the world that do not represent Him and do not recognize Him. They'll be consumed and they'll be destroyed. But praise God, there's an everlasting kingdom, the kingdom where there is no end, and the God of heaven, Jesus Christ. I believe He's God. I believe Jesus Christ is God. Listen, He is deity. John, he said, 1 John chapter 4, he says, if any man comes and says that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hasn't come in the flesh, he is the Antichrist. Listen, Jesus Christ, He not only is man, but He is also God. God manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, justified in the Spirit, called up, preached among the Gentiles, and called up to glory. That's our God. We worship Him as God. God manifest in the flesh. God that died for us. God that gave His only precious redeeming blood to save us. Listen, it took the beloved Son of God to give us grace. It took the beloved Son of God to give us glory. He died on the cross for our sins. He died there that we might be made clean. I love the way Isaiah put it. I'm just going to have to preach. You guys may want to sit down. I love the way Isaiah put it. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be made white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they can be as wool. Titus said, he said that Jesus Christ appeared before us that we might experience the great grace of God. He said that we might be saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said, but he came to redeem us by His blood, that we might experience the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Listen, it's not of works which we have done, but according to His mercy, His mercy, His mercy, and His grace. According to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I believe in a Holy Ghost conversion. Sure do. No man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Oh, we got a lot of people declaring Him as Lord, but they're not living as He's Lord of their life. I'll tell you why they're not living Him as Lord of their life is because they've not declared Him and professed Him Lord by the Holy Ghost. They did it according to the intellect, according to the mind, according to the flesh. They won't get the job done. Man, there has to be a time and place in your life where you're born from above, where you come beneath the crimson flow, where you experience the forgiveness of sin, where the blood of Jesus, y'all know about the redeeming blood of Jesus, where you've had a believing application of the blood of Jesus. I'm talking about turning from sin and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to where your heart is changed and you have a heart transplant by the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul said in Galatians that faith is an operation of the heart. I still believe that. Saving faith is an operation of the heart where He takes out the stony heart. See, that's the problem today. People have not experienced the change. They've not experienced the conversion. Most of them have not been truly convicted of their sins. Listen, you can't be saved unless you're convicted of sin. It's sin, the weight of sin, the burden of sin, the consciousness of sin, the illumination and the awareness of sin in your mind and in your heart that brings you down to a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Listen, if the preacher's beat you down to repent, that's not good enough. Or your mom and dad beat you down to repent, that's not good enough. You need sin to break your heart, crush your spirit. And the Bible says He saveth such of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Amen. Yeah. glory. I'm talking about the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Yeah, we beheld His glory. Oh, if you could just get a glimpse of the glory. It erases all the fears. It erases all the burdens and the troubles and the anguish of life. Whatever you're going through, it's only temporary. Of His glory and of His kingdom, there'll be no end. It's from everlasting to everlasting. Oh, we go through little downtrodden times here, or burdens here, or trials here, or difficulties here. Oh, we go through sickness, but I'll tell you, it never lasts forever. There's only one thing that lasts forever, and that's the saving work of Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I got something that will never end. When I believed, I laid hold of a Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I laid hold of a God who is from everlasting to everlasting. He said, I am from everlasting to everlasting. I am God and there is no other. He's the only true God. And I'm serving Him. And He's an everlasting God. He's an eternal God. And what He gives us and what His children have, they have eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? Eternal life. How do we get to eternal life? We get eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory. I thought about Evelyn as we were singing that song. Yeah, she got a little glimpse of glory. But she's experiencing the good stuff today. She's in the eternal glory. You know, Paul said, he said, yeah, you know, you go through difficult times down here. He said, yeah, you go through trouble down here. Oh, but they don't even scratch the surface. They cannot even compare. There's no comparison unto the suffering and pain here to the eternal weight of glory that we'll experience in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Glory. Anybody here experience a little of the glory of God? Oh, when grace came in, when we received the flood of God's grace, where grace came into our hearts and lives, where the burden was rolled away. You know about that? That time in your life where sin weighed you down, where the sin of your life, the transgressions, the iniquities, the things that you did to offend God. Listen, we've all come short of the glory of God. We've all offended Him. Amen? But praise God, there's cleansing in the blood of Jesus. Let me share something. Not only do you get cleansed once, but you need cleansing throughout your entire Christian life. John said, if we sin, if a man sins, he has an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will not only help him but and advocate for him, but he went on and said that he is a perpetual cleansing for us, that he continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, if you got sin in your life, Jesus is there. If you got sin on your heart, Jesus is there. Sin's on your hands. Jesus is there. Sin in your mind. Jesus is there. And He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We can come before the Lord with clean hands and a clean heart because of the blood of Jesus. And it's the only reason we ever come into His presence clean is because of Jesus. Oh, the glory. Oh, the wonderful glory that we will one day share. He said, and we all, did you get that? Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We all of us, everybody that's been saved, everybody that's been born again, everybody that's tasted and seen that the Lord is good, everyone that's a child of God, everyone that's had their sin debt canceled. Listen, if you got grace and you didn't get glory, you're missing grace. Because the Lord always, when He gives grace, and that's in the Psalms, was it Psalm 130, something, whatever. He always gives grace and glory. He said, we all, with an open face, behold as a glass the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. Yeah, it's a little foggy, but we see it. A little blurry. My left eye is blurry up close. My right eye is blurry at distance. And if I lose one of these contacts, I got a blurry situation. But I can still see an image. I mean, I can still see that there's words on the page. I may not be able to read them, but I can see they're there. We don't fully comprehend or see all the glory of God
through what we've experienced in salvation. But we see the image of it. Amen. And I am set toward that mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus, to press toward that. Amen. That's my end. I'm going to heaven when I die. Going to the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. Listen, folks, there's a lot of people get all messed up and they think the Jerusalem, the promised Jerusalem is a physical Jerusalem. The promised Jerusalem is a glorified Jerusalem with the Son of God being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, where we will reign with Him forever. Amen. I mean, you know, the walls of jasper. Actually, it's clear, crystal clear jasper. And the light, the Lamb is the light thereof. And somebody evaluated that as that light passed through the wall of crystal clear jasper, that it just shot a rays of light, a rays of glory all over the place. Just the ray of glory just shining forever and forever. I tell you, the Son of God who shines and is the light of the world and the light of the New Jerusalem, there's going to be a rays of light that shine forth from that place that penetrate that wall of jasper. And it's going to shoot off like a diamond with light hitting a diamond. It's going to just it's going to glow and it's going to glisten. It's going to just be brilliant rays of light that shine all over the place. Occasionally, you know, these lights up here, I might get I can see a little sparkle in her diamond over here just occasionally. You know, just from this light hitting that diamond. Off Abby's diamond. That's the way it is with heaven. I occasionally get a little sparkle here and there. Listen, if you don't from time to time in your Christian walk get some assurance that you're going to heaven, you may need to check and see if you've been to the fountain and drank of living water. Man, if there's not times in your life you don't long to see Him. I mean, as John the Revelator in the 21st chapter of Revelation, he was going through and he was talking about the throne and he was talking about the river that proceeded from the throne and the trees and their manner of fruit that's for the healing of the nations. He was going through all these wonderful things at the very core, at the center of that glorious Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, the glorified Jerusalem. And he goes a little further and he says, and we see Jesus' face, praise God. You can't get to the core of that city without seeing the face of Jesus Christ. He says in this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. This wasn't the verse I was going to preach, but I'm preaching it. We all of us that are saved, with open face, behold as a glass, or you know, as a mirror, we see the glory of the Lord. Glory of the Lord. One of the things a church loses when it loses a candlestick is the glory of the Lord. The light of His glory. You know, when He comes back, He is described as coming back in as lightning. He's coming back in power, in brightness. We'll see, the Bible says, the brightness of His glory. The brightness of His glory. Listen, there needs to be a degree of brightness of the glory of God in our souls, in our bodies, in our lives, and in our churches. Nothing will hamper the gospel of Jesus Christ any more than a church that's lost the glory. Amen? The Lord! Listen, I can't give you grace. We can't give our children grace. Little Caroline, they thought she had a seizure and they took her to Centennial Hospital. She's in hospital today and there she's undergoing test, and I don't know if I was even supposed to share all that. Don't put it on Facebook or something. But you want to give your children grace. A little red-headed girl, you know, with that cap on and all them probes and electrodes or whatever they are, to, you know, wires off of her head. And I can't give that little girl grace. Oh, but I serve a God that can. And I can get on my face before God, the God of all grace. Are y'all with me? The God of all grace. The God of all mercies. The God of, Paul said in the same chapter, book in Corinthians, he said, the God of all comfort. I can pray to him. And the Lord can give his grace. You know, your grace wouldn't help much, but God's grace does matter. It matters whether or not we go to heaven. It matters whether or not we get through this life. Listen, when you have a messenger of Satan that starts buffeting you, and you get on your face like Paul did, and you pray, God, my God, move this person from my life. God, I got a thorn in the flesh. And God will say, my grace is sufficient. Hang on, buddy. I'm with you. Yeah. Yeah. Grace. Man, you get a hold of God's grace and you get a hold of His glory, and that's all you need in life. It's more important than money. It's more important than food. Paul, on several occasions, talked about times where he was hungry, times when he was persecuted, times where he was shipwrecked, times where he was stoned, three times, times where he was left as dead. He went on and on and on, all these bad experiences in his life, but through it all, he had the grace of God. And listen, if you go through this world, you need God's grace. You need God's grace to save you. You need God's grace to sustain you. Listen, it's like a Siamese twin. All right? Anytime you got grace, you got glory. You can't have one without the other. I'm talking about the brightness of His glory. You know, the 15th chapter of Matthew, three of the disciples went up with Him on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw Him. They saw Him. They saw Him transformed in this bright, glowing light of glory. Now I'll tell you what that was in my sanctified imagination. I believe that He was giving His apostles a glimpse of the future so that they could be sustained through the persecution and the problems that they would go through in preaching the blessed, glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. They got a glimpse on the Mount of Transfiguration, the eternal future glory that Jesus would come back in. Listen, the Lord's coming. Amen. Behold, He cometh, and every eye shall see Him, even those that pierced Him. They got a glimpse of that. People, if there's ever been a time where the church needs to lose its melancholy and get a fresh degree and fresh dimension and fresh glow of God's glory, it's now. Now. I mean, when you've got grace and you've got glory, it'll lift you up above this world. Are you with me? Because it's not of this world. It is the Lord that gives it. I'm going to say that again. It is the Lord that gives grace. It is the Lord that gives glory. Actually, if you get anything, God gives it to you. James said, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Everything you get is from God. Bible says we live and move and have our being because of God. All things were created by Him. All things are sustained for Him. And all things are sustained by Him. We are here today because of the goodness and the grace and the gift of God. Reigns on the just and the unjust. But listen, you must get saving grace and eternal glory from God directly. Amen? You must get it from God. I mean, just like Moses went up on Mount Sinai and went into the very presence of God. Man, you've got to come into the very presence of God. Do you guys know about that? Coming into the very presence of God to get grace and glory. For me, it happened the first time when I was 10 years old. When I was on an altar about 10 o'clock at night on a Monday evening. I got on my face before God and I was crying out to God. I didn't care who was in the church. I didn't care what they did. I was going to stay there until grace came into my heart. I could not go on. Could not go on another minute without grace. Have you ever been there? You know, they sang a few songs. The church was, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, the church has got to be in a perfect shape in order for sinners to get saved. I don't believe that for a minute. Only thing that stands between you and your own sin, the only thing that stands between you and salvation is your own sin of unbelief. Church was divided. They were fighting. They were carrying on. I didn't care. I needed Jesus. Okay? And, you know, whatever was going on in their lives had nothing to do with the Spirit of God that was going on in my life. Man, He opened me up and exposed me. The Word of God, every time it was preached, it cut deeper and deeper and deeper. And listen, the Word of God is alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing it, even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, to the very joints and marrows. What's that saying is it does something that nothing else can do. It goes places that nothing else can go. The Word of God gets in areas that no one else can penetrate. Nothing else can penetrate the Word of God. Man, it was cutting me. It slayed me. You know that next verse there in Hebrews 3 where it talks about the Word of God being sharp and powerful and cutting and getting in areas of your life, your soul. I mean, getting deep inside of you, the very core of you, the very heart of you, and dividing you and piercing you and opening you up and exposing you. And it says there in the next verse, it opens us up and it slays us, opens us up before a holy God with whom we have to do. In other words, it opens you up before a holy God who you've got to deal with. Personally, you've got to deal with a holy God. And you're open and exposed and naked, and your sins are laid out right there before a holy God. Man, that experience is real when it happens. You know, when I really got opened up before God like that, it didn't take me long to find Jesus. Amen? I mean, it took a while for it to get down that deep, get me that open. Some people experienced it a lot quicker than I did. But I'll tell you what, that night I went down, I wasn't getting up until that was taken away, until it was gone. You know, I got it about 10 o'clock at night. Service did start at 7. I wasn't leaving. I didn't care if they stayed and locked the door, left me there by myself. I didn't care. I didn't think my parents would do that to me. Didn't matter. I needed grace. Listen, grace is a personal experience that you have with God where He shows you personally His unmerited favor. Favor passed upon my soul that night. Man, what a blessing that is. Yeah, it was about 10 minutes till 10. And I remember I turned around and looked at the clock so I could tell you what time it was. Because I wanted to be able to tell you the time, take you to the place kind of thing, you know. I mean, it just happened. I don't know. God spoke to my heart. It wasn't an audible voice. I mean, it's like it was, but it wasn't. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I can't really explain that. He spoke to my spirit, my soul. And I knew. Man, I just knew that was it. And I remember I turned around, I looked at the clock, and I got up, and there was only like 4, maybe 5 people. And they weren't singing. They were tired. They were, they're sitting on a pew. I just gotten saved. Praise God. Glory and grace just came to my life, and it has never left me. Never. Never left me. It's there. And from time to time, I get fresh degrees of God's glory on my life. Y'all know about that? Yeah. Man, I'm glad I got it that night. I was 10 years old. I don't know if, I don't think Ange had ever even kneeled down or sought the Lord. I think by Wednesday of that week, she was on the altar praying that the Lord would save her. She came to the altar, but she said there was just too much commotion. Too much people talking and singing and praying. She couldn't get through to God with all the commotion around. She had to go home, find a closet where it was quiet, and talk to God. She got saved on Friday night. And I believe by divine providence, God put us together right then and there. I believe God can select a mate for you. Took a lot of grace to get her to like me. She didn't like me for a long time. Ah, but thank God of grace. Amen. If you need God's saving grace, it's available. He resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. And it is the Lord that gives us more grace. You need more grace? Get it from God. He gives grace and He gives glory. All right. What are we going to do now? I want to say this. Those of you that are here and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you need God's saving grace. You may be going through something, I mean, really bad in your life, in your home, in your family. You know, I didn't know that you could experience grace in your financial situation until Tiffany was born and I lost my insurance, had to pay that hospital bill. You know, you get grace for your financial situations. You can get grace in any area of your life if you need it. Once you get saved, it's a life of grace. Saved by grace. Live by grace. Long as you keep the faith and live by faith, grace will come into your life. Just like it did the first time you believed. Tell you what, let's stand and sing a verse of a song. Let's come to the altar. I want us to have an altar prayer. If you're here today, you need grace or you need glory, God's got it. And the Lord can give it. It is the Lord that gives grace and glory. If you don't have glory, it's because you don't have grace. Y'all believe that, don't you? You can't have glory unless you first get grace. Grace is an experience that you have in your heart and life. It's part of the inner part of your being that you experience this mercy and grace. But it flows throughout your entire being. You can get grace for your body, for your mind, for your life, for your family, for your friends, for your church. The Lord gives grace and glory. And I tell you, from time to time, the glory is rolled. Let's stand and sing another song. Let's get on the altar as we sing this song and have an altar prayer.
Of God. And all the world.
that grace.